Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Oh yes, good evening, good morning, good afternoon. Welcome to Journeys with JP. And I've done one this year. It is the 18th of January. I always like the 18th. I know loads of people whose birthdays are on the... My birthday's on the 18th, and I know loads of other people whose birthday's on the 18th. And there's this interesting sort of 18th vibe, so welcome to the 18th of January. My ex-wife actually had three partners, and one was born January the 18th, one was born February the 18th, and I was born March the 18th. She was, like, collecting them. So, you know, it's a thing. Greetings. Today, call in. I've got nothing prepared. Nobody's spoken to me. So call in, and I'll read your raise or... take you through a journey. Oh man, I mean, people have been doing these things. I mean, Karen Kirschbaum called in a couple of weeks ago and we went way deep. We went, like, sort of beyond a kind of it wasn't regression. nobody's hypnotized during this thing. It's a very interesting thing. So if you wish to sort of go on a journey down some kind of memory lane or memory hole, things that you might have forgotten, we can find out what was there. We can work it out, because it's always there. We're discovering it's always there. It never goes away. So call in on Studio B 310-121-4053. No, 421-4053. I just can't... text is a bit funny. iCortec. indeed, you can call in on the Wolf Spirit radio numbers, which are 775-773-3431, or in the UK, even. You can call me from Britain. Yeah, it's cool. American radio station, but I'm in Britain. This is 0141-354-356-4141. Yeah. But there we go. So, a little cup of tea. Somdar. Oh, that's a good cup of tea. Nice and strong. Good British tea. So, yeah, what's been going on? Well, of course, you know, last week Bowie died, and there's been all these weird Bowie coincidences, like tonight. News comes over, there's a guy from Motley Hoople died, and Motley Hoople had only one song, one hit song, which was a David Bowie cover. So there's, you know, the echoes still come in. Oh look, Mona, I haven't had you on for a while. Hello, how are you?
It's still ringing.
Let it ring. I'm here. I have always been here.
Yeah, I heard you were there earlier, too.
Was I?
Yeah, how's all your electrical going? Oh, come on, Karen. Come on. It's Monday. She's my new co-host on Mondays.
I heard you.
Blast today, did you? Yes. I knew you were around.
I relay it, you see. So, today I'm doing my hobby, because I really need some me time, right? I've done a lot of service for helping lots of other people. And you know what I do when it's me time?
Mm-mm.
You know what I do? I make light fittings.
Yeah.
I make lamps, and I work with LEDs and stuff. And I love it. It just does such a buzz for me. And, like, I'm slowly wiring up my house with these little devices and little, like a lamp with a globe on it, or lamps with crystals. I've got one lamp, which is a piece of it's the corner of the edge of the top of an oak barrel. It's about, you know, the wood is about 1.25 inches thick. What's that in millimeters? It's about 30 mil thick. And it's like a curve. It's, you know, basically a barrel. If you imagine putting a whole load of slats together, nailing them sideways together, and then cutting a disc out of that, that's what a barrel is. But mm-hmm. it's really thick wood. And anyway, so I get it as firewood. But sometimes I cut a piece and I think, oh, you look nice. And it just, you know, so I've got this little pile of what I call corners. Anyway, so I now understand why I keep these things, because I can drill a round hole in the top of them and embed a little LED element. Okay, and then I mount that on a piece of pine and I distress it all so it all looks old and dark and sort of antique wood. I love distressing wood. Blow lamp.
I do too, yeah, right.
It's like pyro.
We used to blow torch it and take chains to it.
That's right, that's right. So anyway, and then I plug that into a 12-volt battery system that I'm kind of working out, like standards and things like that. So, you know, what I mean by a standard is that it all's got the same plug. You know, and you can have little cables that join it that all have the same, you know, the appropriate clock.
Like a power strip kind of thing.
Yeah, huh? That sort of thing. So, I'm kind of wiring up my house with these kind of ancient. The idea of it is that it kind of it's old looking wood. You know, the package is old, reclaimed, and inside is funky electronics.
Stressed, man. It's stressed.
Dressed?
Stressed.
Stressed. Well, I bet I burn it, basically. I burn the surface of the wood, and that gets rid of the splinters without having to sand it too much. And then I take a piece of, what's that? Wire wool, yeah?
Steel wool.
And rub olive oil into that with wire wool, and it's just fantastic. It just looks like something like 100. Well, actually, the wood is already 100 years old.
Mm-hmm.
The, you know,
that must have been hard to cut.
Yeah. Well, I have a pile. How many have I got? One, two, three. I've got two remnant saws that I've busted already from cutting this wood up.
No diamond. Blade, huh?
It's the shaft. The shaft of the motor itself. Just kind of
Just cannot take the torque, Captain. Yeah, there you go, right.
You know. So, but it's great. I got a 48 tooth tungsten carbide tipped.
That should have helped, but no.
No, because it is, you have to have something that can push it. So anyway, so I've got a new saw I bought last month, that's. That's got a 1500-watt motor, which is like a bit more oomph, bit more thicker shaft, and hopefully should last a little longer than it did. But anyway, so back to it. So I've got all these bits of wood, and so these barrels are great because they've all these nice little shapes, and also they have things like the bunghole. Yeah? Like
no, what?
A bastion, literally. All right, so this is where the term comes from. A barrel is made of strips of wood, and
right.
in the old days, in order to seal the barrel, they would, you know, have like tar on the outside. But to get into it, you have a hole that has been pre-drilled and another round piece of wood carefully hammered in. That's called a bung. It's the equivalent of a cork.
Or a plug of a bottle,
yeah, it's a plug, yeah, but it's called a bung anyway. So okay. the hole that they make to put the bung in is called the bung hole, you know. Okay. So that's where we get the name, you know, or, you know, the term. These are from barrels, anyway.
Okay, got it.
So anyway, so this evening I've been making a little lamp out of just a small square section of the edge of the stave. The staves are the side parts, as opposed to the top parts. You'll see some of them I've got on my Facebook page. You can look at my sort of lighting lighting excursion.
Yeah, I saw one that was a video that was so cool. Somebody was making LED mushroom things, and it was all like silicon and putting that tiny little light on. I mean, it was amazing what can be done, at least creatively, also with these LEDs.
Oh, yeah. And here's the thing. That's another thing that I've been experimenting with, is like power supplies. I've realized that batteries are really not a good idea. They're a real pain in the ass. And why doesn't everything work like a mobile phone? You know, mobile phones work, and you can plug them in and they recharge. And when you, they keep going. So I've been trying to work out, you know, sort of duplicate the circuit of a mobile phone, so that you can have an appliance that works like that in the same way, but, you know, isn't a mobile phone. It's just using electronics in that way. So, for instance, I made my girlfriend a birthday present, which was another piece of that oak, the edge of the barrel, and it sort of looks like a little boat. And again, it was distressed and olive oiled, and it took a lot of work. It took much longer than I imagined. And it took an awful lot of energy to hack the inside of the stuff out, because I had to hollow it out to get the electronics in. But in the end, I just thought, right, screw it. I gave her a little Nokia phone charger, and it just plugged straight into the USB. So
it's amazing that we've even, I think, come this far, considering where they've hidden so much of the information.
Yeah. Hey, get what? But get this. You'll like this, because what I made for her, she nearly dumped me because I didn't even turn up on her birthday. I was so into this. I can't deny. You know, I might get a little obsessive about things sometimes. You know, when I start something, I need to finish it.
The Pisces airhead thing, I got it.
Yeah, not really an airhead, sort of like...
You're in your head now, man. Yeah. Nothing else counts. Yeah.
So anyway, I nearly got dumped. But anyway, by the time she came to see it, it was finished. And I just kept on looking at it, just thinking, oh, it's beautiful. Yeah, this is beautiful. It sort of looks like a kind of big smile. What it is in the electronics, I've got two multicolor LEDs, and they're embedded in the thing that points up the way. So basically, if you put two crystals on the two little indentations, they'll light up in the opposite color to each other, and very slowly move through the rainbow. And I call that the complementatron, because it's the complementary color. So,
but you didn't make it so it would be that way. This actually did it on its own.
I programmed it so it would be that way. Yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's, no, nothing was an accident. It took a lot of work. It took like a week to make. But I call it the complementatron, and basically you can put two crystals on it, say two clear crystals, and they'll light up in the eternally the opposite color. So it's a way of kind of, do you remember that I've been talking about the way that trauma is released in some methods is by slowly, gently rocking from side to side?
Oh, interesting. No, but go ahead.
All right. Well, this is something that was discovered, I think, by a lady called Dr. Shapiro, who's a Canadian. She was working with trauma sufferers and PTSD sufferers, and she would she'd take her fingers, you know, just like stick her two fingers like a scout, you know, and say, just follow my fingers with your eyes. And very slowly, and going about, for the whole wave, it took about 17 seconds, you know, to slowly go from one side to the other. So she would slowly cause somebody for their eyes to go from left to right, from left to right, left to right. Very, very slowly, very, very gently. And that unfreezes the trauma. And so they can speak about it without the pain. It's awesome.
Well, that's interesting. What a simple relief.
Yeah, and the name of it is four letters, and it's something like EMDR, eye movement Something release. Something. EMTR? Maybe eye movement traumatic release or something. I don't know. But it's really cool stuff. Really cool stuff. So so where do we get to that? How do we get to trauma going from left to right? But that was part of it. There's this rocking from side to side. That's right. The complementatron. By doing that, by going through and seeing both colours at the same time, the thinking mm-hmm. is, you know, the idea that I had was, you know, because we sometimes come into conflict once or twice. And, once or twice, just the kind of, you know, we might sort of argue or be
all right, in WTF, get over it.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, in disagreement. So I built this thing in order to demonstrate the both sides at once kind of unity consciousness idea. You see?
Because left jumps to right and right jumps to left.
Yeah, because, you know, as I said, when, you know, it's the 18th. It's the 18th of January, and my birthday is the 18th of March. My girlfriend's birthday is the 18th of September. And so
you're into nines.
Yeah, nine, and she's German. That's what I get. Nine. Yes. Let me go. Nine. Anyway, so in order to further this thing, I thought, right, I devised it. It took me 2 days to devise it in my head, and it took ages to make, and you know, I was all late. It's typical of me. I'm always late.
People shouldn't live by expectations.
That's right.
Now,
especially don't ever expect me to do something on time. On day, you know, it's like to send you a present so that it arrives. You know, people who I always get amazed by people who send a present that arrives on your birthday. How did they know? How can they predict this thing? I post a letter, it comes, it arrives 9 months later. Yeah, how do they know?
It was just more grandiose and more out of love that you wanted the perfection for somebody that you gave a present to. I mean, I get your drift totally.
Anyhow.
I forgive you anyway, okay?
So here we go. So when I finally did present it to her, it's polished. As I said, it's olive oil rubbed into the distressed burnt oak. So it's really dark, like ebony, kind of dark. It's got this, you know, it's really lovely quality because it's not like painted or varnished. It's just like wood. And then, you know, with this amazing light that's coming out of it. And she took one look at it and she just went, oh, it's beautiful. melted, boom. And she said, you have just been saved. I was going to dump you.
Oh, geez, that's just, oh, my gosh.
So that's my life. I can't help it.
It's an interesting cycle. Why should anybody want somebody else to have to live by their expectations, JP? That just doesn't make any sense to
please,
me.
Please, if somebody could call in and explain that to me, that would explain a lot to me, and I wouldn't need to learn the lessons of 3.5 years or something.
Should I look at your chart while I'm here?
Pisces, Sun.
Hey, I have Venus and Mars in Pisces, 4 and 27 degrees, so I exactly know the Pisces. Okay?
So you go for Piscean men and women?
Pardon me?
You are attracted to Piscean men and women?
I don't have much Pisces in people except you that I know right now.
Well, there you go. I embody everything for you. So, yeah,
today was a good day, though, for Pisces.
I've done my thing, and you know, I like to do my thing, and it's fun for me. And eventually,
but did you get all your wires fixed up that you wanted to do? Reorganize, re-snake everything.
I'm still in the process on the sort of surface level now, but the deep snakes. I've relayed the deep snakes. I've got a new. Cat 6e gigabit Ethernet cabling. So I've completely replaced the cabling between me and the router. I've got a new router that is waiting for the fiber. I have an engineer arriving tomorrow, and I'm going to give him some conversation. And say, Mr. Engineer, can you explain to me in very easily words why you don't replace this cable because it's breaking every 6 months and you have to come out here and fix it? Why don't you just replace it with a fiber optic cable? That's what I'm going to say to him. And see, well, maybe next week we'll find out what his reply was. Stand by.
I know, right? That's interesting. Well, are you finding and seeing that you're not like in the county city like I am, but you've been hearing about how the transportation and the sales and businesses of things have slowed down, like there's no shipping.
The Baltic Index thing and the where are all the ships at sea thing.
Right. So maybe they can't get materials, or maybe they're cutting back. Who knows what's going on, JP?
Well, that's interesting. I wonder where the... I'm still getting stuff that is coming across from China, so maybe it's coming by plane. Or maybe they're starting to teleport.
By land.
Maybe they're teleporting things.
Oh, there you go. Boy, but it's just shipping companies, wouldn't it? Oh, interesting.
Wouldn't it?
Teleporting it. Yeah. I don't see why not. I mean, I really do know to believe that energy and technology is right here.
Oh, they're rolling it out. I mean, the you know, we're starting to get behind the hoax of what's it called?
The hoax?
The hoax of NASA, that, you know,
we can
only do things by
answer.
Rockets. Well, you know, the idea that you can only struggle to get out of the orbit by rockets. And, you know, there's these guys and they just go into this room and turn a key and it goes... And, you know, 15 minutes later they're on Mars. You know, and I have spoken since 2012. I've been speaking to people who have been involved in these programs, at least one of them, if not one or two of his friends. And it also appears that our very president was also involved in these time travel programs.
Very. Oh, yes, I've heard those.
And also Regina Dugan.
Who? Is that a real name?
Yeah, Regina Dugan. Oh, no, sorry, Regina. Sorry, I always say Regina, but it's spelled the same. You know, what can I say?
But what's it mean in Greek?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, Regina Dugan, Regina. Sorry, no.
And that person still is who?
Regina Dugan, now, at one point she was head of DARPA, and at another point she was head of the NSA, or the other way around, you know. One of those revolving doors.
So she's just an underhanded bitch, is that what it is?
She's probably, I don't know.
We can't judge, okay.
Yeah, but she's top spook, basically.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, so they're all in these positions. And then there's poor old Stillings, right? And he's like down and out on the street making batteries in a tent. But he's quite amazing. He's making a biodegradable... self-recharging laptop battery. How about that,
cool.
Kids? Yeah, I've had him on the show, talking about this stuff.
Oh, that's neat. Well, when Crystal went to Africa, she was actually looking for phones that would decompose, that could go back into the ground and actually plant a seed, but I think the EMF might hurt the seed. Yeah, the kids, is he young? How young is this guy?
Stillings. He's our age. He's my age.
Our age. You can go ahead and say that.
60, 61.
I'm not quite there.
1960s to 1961. That sort of era. Basajo, and Regina Dugan and Obama.
You're talking about Andrew Basajo?
Yeah.
Is that how you say his name?
Basajo, yeah.
Oh, that story was amazing. Just the trips of what families that maybe while you were going through it didn't mean anything until you get to this age here, where the truths really are coming face front.
Well, you know, I mean, Stillings is very interesting because a lot of the things that he was experiencing as a youngster have been kind of splattered in various places over the TV screen in various strange ways. And one of them, you get this, you know, American Dad? Did you ever see American Dad, the cartoon?
Yeah, the animated one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, where the little kid is actually like an adult in their kid's body.
Yeah, and the alien.
Or no, that might be Fall Guy.
All right, no, it was before Family Guy. Same guy as Family Guy, Seth MacFarlane. He's obviously he obviously has insider mates, right? Because the story is that they have he's a CIA guy. He's a company man. They call it the company, you know? He's a CIA guy. And they have an E.T. as a, like, you know, house guest or pet or something. He's called Roger, and he's camp and bitchy. And, apparently... Stillings, I'd love to hear more about Sam. Had one of these. Dad brought home an E.T. He was, you know, he's in the CIA. Dad brought home an E.T. Okay, Sam's going to be staying with us a while. So he learned all about E.T.s, about Greys.
Isn't that cool? Because a lot of that seems to be coming out.
Yeah. So
as pre-warnings, but how many were paying attention, right?
Did you see Fringe?
I think I have, but I'm not one to put labels on things to say, yes, I did.
Well, in Fringe, there's a paperclip scientist, yeah? And he's basically a composite character of lots of different paperclip scientists.
Well, because it's a time shift, isn't it?
It's parallel dimensions.
Okay, right, okay.
And he sees a parallel dimensional version of himself... Plus, his son, who dies in his world, who doesn't die in the other world, and he steals the son.
Whoa.
So, basically, he says, you know, come on, son, you coming with me? And it's that dad, what's going on, you know? He schleps him from that dimension to this dimension. And that caused all the problems of the world.
Well, at least that dimension.
It caused two of them to collapse.
Oh, my.
Yeah, because, you know, you're supposed to keep things separate. Things have a signature, a frequency signature, from one to the other. And so wherever this boy goes, he'll be dropping signatures of the other dimension, which will then eventually start creating little pockets and wormholes and rifts in space-time between them. And
Tommy Walkers, was that the Stephen King movie that had that happening, where they were eliminating the past elements to make the new one? Tommy Walkers, something like that.
I don't think I've seen that, but probably.
It's a great movie. Yeah. It explains just what you explained, yeah. Whoa. So how did then all they... that was really good, Mona. Then how did all those people who are specifying that time travel is evident of being now? It's not a forward future thinking thing. It's actually being done in the past. Because that would only be in this dimension then, right? Not the other dimensions. Oh, that's just... fractaled.
Well, just imagine that as we progress through time, we are moving through dimensions. Just that.
Okay.
And so every 20 years, we're in another dimension. How about that? And that time travel is actually dimensional travel. You just move to a sideways dimension. You move sideways in time, like the silver machine.
Edges of mirrors when you talk like that.
Yeah. So... because the Eldridge, right? So when we're looking at time travel, we have to look at events that we've heard enough about to develop some sort of picture of.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've heard about the Eldridge, and the thing about the Eldridge The Philadelphia experiment happened in 1943, and then something happened in 1963, and then something in 1983, and 2003 it started bouncing back. And
in the same area?
No, all over the place. But they.
Oh, my.
And in the ensuing 20 years is... they developed their technology to a much more finer degree so that they could actually predict where the damn thing was going to, you know, happen. Sean described it. When it happened in 2003, either in 2003 or 1983, there was a massive outage. You know, it pulled out the whole eastern seaboard. As this thing reappears. Like the Eldridge.
So
20 years does seem to be a kind of significant thing. Now, the other thing was the anecdotal evidence of the book that I read, which was Die Glocke, which describes the passage of time, the Nazi bell backwards and forwards through time, or rather forwards through time. And then backwards through time. And then forwards through time. And then sideways through. And who knows where it went after that. But it basically became a vehicle for the character in Sean's book, who's known as Simon Ratterman.
It's interesting about the different magnetics and the electronics that actually fulfill such variables of... You can't even say perspective because it's scientifically proven. So what then? You can't even call it a theory then because it's like there now.
It's a reality, yeah.
Thank you.
So, like I say, you know, dimensional reality is like pages of a book.
Mm-hmm.
And when the pages are held together magnetically, and when you create opposing rotational torque to two discs that are rotating very fast against each other.
Scratchy.
Yeah. That twists the magnetic net that reality is made of. Okay? And that causes a hole. And that's what time machines do. That's what Die Glocke did, the bell. That's what UFOs do. And that's what CERN does.
Is that good for us?
No.
I didn't think so.
Well, I mean, it's a natural force, right? Basically, if you can get two things counter-rotating, then you open up the space-time like an iris. Yeah? It's like, imagine you had this little lens you could put down on the table, you turn the lens, and you can see right through the table.
Yeah, I can envision that, and I can get what you're saying, because of the amount of either one part of an energy turning it on or one shutting it down.
Yeah. Now, the Glocke was operated using something called red mercury, which is a highly unstable radioactive isotope of mercury that is produced by boiling it in plutonium and mixing it with thorium and iron filings or something.
Whoa.
Yeah. Otherwise,
shot him to the moon, right?
Otherwise known as Zerum 525. Bam, bam, bam. And that's what it was known to the crazy German scientist Werner Eckert, who is essentially Dr. Strangelove. Okay. But he died before, Dr. Strangelove was a paperclip scientist. You know, he's one of the NASA scientists. That's Peter
Sellers. So have you ever talked to Peter Moon? Have you ever had him on your show?
That'd be an interesting guy. Yeah, he's...
Oh, he is. I've had quite a few. In fact, I have one of my videos on my YouTube account that's with Peter. But the first he gets on with you, man, he's strong. He knows this stuff. It's taken me 7 shows to calm down enough to go, yeah, this is okay. Because he has that much energy going with him from all the information that he does.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big... Oh, I forget, Anderson, is it somebody that he's been working with about doing the facilitating of time and time jumping?
I don't know.
Working with the time?
Since he's your guest, anyway. I don't know.
Well, but, I'll give him, he wouldn't mind if I hooked you up.
Yeah, well, I'll bring him in if he's around. Anyway, so that's what CERN's doing. And what they're doing is they're making a great big one. See, what it is, okay, so you know what a torus is, don't you?
You mean the thing that looks like a moving donut around the...
Yeah.
Okay, not the torus that I am also.
Not the torus, no. Or Jewish law books. Essentially, a torus is the field that is generated by this counter-rotational device. Making sense?
Yes, but it's actually in its own magnetics of doing itself. I mean, it doesn't have to really have energy to have it there, does it?
Are you saying it's self-sustaining?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Remember who you're talking about.
It's self-sustaining. It once you get it going, it does, and then you can adjust its feedback, and you can make it... Well, what they found is that the first thing that it does when you spin these two... they did it with electrostatically charged discs, but they couldn't get enough charge going. And, you know, then the ETs told them, you have to use this ferrofluid, magnetic ferrofluid. And they said, I have 0.5 to 5. So they said, how much have you got? Well, I've got 4 or 5 grams. And he said, how much would you need? And I said, well, we need 2 tons per machine.
Oh, my gosh.
So,
and you could hire a bunch of kids to run across carpet, you know, that would help, right?
Exactly. So, basically, they used a lot of Jews, concentration camp. That's what they were doing. They caused them to build facilities and, yeah, horrible things. Anyhow, but that's what they did. They had highly charged discs, very close to each other, and spinning in opposite directions. And because imagine pushing two magnets against each other.
Oh, I can envision the two exchanges as you're saying it, because that's almost how a tornado is, hurricane.
Yeah. So it's essentially...
you've got to have the high and low pressures, too, so that's kind of interesting, not just its elemental exchange, but how far it can go out or how small it can get.
Well, look at a tornado, right? And imagine it in your mind. What you're actually... You're not looking at the whole thing, yeah, because the tornado kind of goes out from the top of the twister. Yeah, and it goes out and round and back up again, doesn't it? That's the torus. That's the same motion. So the vortex that is the tornado is the same thing that is created by the counter-rotating magnetism. And what that does is produce... there's two things going on. There's a sort of upwards force and a downwards force, and it's essentially creating gravity. And that's why it levitates, because gravity.
It would
gravity,
be an inner and an outer too, wouldn't it?
Gravity. I'm gonna lay some things out. You probably know these things already, but gravity is not a sucking force.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wave that emanates, and so there's no such thing as anti-gravity. There is gravity, but gravity is not what you think it is. Gravity is actually levity. So it is actually love. What my girlfriend says, she says that the Earth loves us so much that it holds us onto the Earth.
Makes sense.
So, gravity. Gravity and also people have reported a sense of euphoria around these devices. Because it produces a field very much like the pyramid field. It is congenial, as Stillings used to say. That was his word. It was congenial.
It's one of my favorite words. Seriously, it makes me think of a lava lamp sometimes, too, you know.
Yeah, well, if...
just the gentle, like you said, rocking back and forth, and then it congenializes where it feels it can be. Okay.
Oh, that's congealing.
Yeah, she, it's not baking soda and vinegar there,
she
baby.
Congenially congealed.
Oh, like mixing the right color of paint. And anyway, I can look, see the lights are really cool, that it is help attitudes, feelings.
Yeah. So for Christmas, Nikki bought me some things from a charity, which are little kind of little glass globes of four different colours, and they are perfect like little tops for these things. So instead of crystals, this last week I put these little globes on them, and it's made a much softer, much more colourful tone in the kitchen. It's like, oh, loads of different coloured lights.
Well, not just that, it's not direct. It's part of now the scenery.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And also the, because of the filtering of the crystals and the glass and all these things, it's not so LED-y. The LEDs need to be filtered through a natural substance to come back to being a useful light for us. And here's a, let me blow your mind again, and you probably know this already. The sun is cold.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Let me prove it to you.
Okay.
In five easy steps. When you go up a mountain, does it get hotter or colder?
Colder. I apologize. Colder!
When you go in an aeroplane, is it warmer or colder?
I know that's what I'm assuming, because I've never been outside a plane as I've been flying, okay?
Okay, but ice forms on the wingtips and shit.
Okay, right. Okay. Well, but then jet fuel's pretty cold, not hot.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And it can't melt steel. Anyway, when you go up into space, is it cold or hot?
I would consider it cold.
So how the... how? How the heck... How in heaven's name can the sun be hot?
I just
think about that.
I can get that.
Yeah? So, the sun isn't hot. The sun is bright, and it shines in X-rays and ultraviolet and all these things, but it's not hot. It's not actually producing much in the infrared, which is what we call hot zone. However, planet X is hot. Planet X is a red dwarf, or wormwood, or whatever you might want to call it.
Right.
It's a red dwarf. It means it's actually a big hot lump of iron. Whereas a star is... actually, you know, in the 80s, you know, you're talking about your lava lamp.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that went with the lava lamp, the plasma ball. Did you ever see one of those?
I'm thinking of the electronic thing with your fingers outside and the lightning zaps at you.
That's it. Perfect.
Well, I don't know the name of it, but it was sure fun to play with.
Yeah, that's a plasma ball.
Okay.
All right. That is what the sun is.
And it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an electrical charge or some kind of shock, but then that would be because of all the different elements that it's working off of. So you literally think that we're going to have incoming hot coming by, huh?
Yeah, hot and fast. That's
it wouldn't be the first time, right?
Everybody's been saying that. Now,
I've seen it.
Somebody was saying that, I'm not sure, because everybody's got their own opinion about what councils they belong to and all this rubbish.
No, please,
anyway.
Don't go there with me, okay?
Yeah,
I won't. My own council.
Yeah, and you know, I have my own, you know.
Thank you, nice to meet you, knuckle punch.
actually, I ought to have a look at what my guides have said about Planet X and stuff. Anywho,
The reason why I was asking and wondering is because I have seen different orbs in different places, but they were at the right time that if it was Nibiru coming, but it was 2010, and all the way up till Maybe the last part or the first part of 2014, there was a sphere in the southwest direction that was there and it wouldn't move, okay? Because you know stars, it would move, but it wouldn't move. And it's like, oh my gosh. So either something is also following in our orbit or other incoming as well. Does that make sense?
Or, Mona.
Hmm.
That was your people.
Oh, now you're the second person who's kind of said that to me.
Yeah.
That's kind of interesting. My people.
Your people.
Ooh, it's party time. Okay, go ahead.
Indeed. So, here's another insight that I've got from all the people that I've been talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, since we're all from elsewhere, we all have contact of some kind. And sometimes the military can notice it, can see it happening. And then they send the black helicopters and the TR-3Bs and the artificial beaming technology and abduct this person to debrief them and find out what happened. Meanwhile, all the black helicopters are sniffing the air and taking ion trails and looking at electromagnetic spectrums and seeing the, you know, microwave beams and all this stuff. That's what they're all doing. Meanwhile, the person who was taken is given a terrible examination to make them not remember the first thing, which was usually a positive thing.
Yeah, I think I went through 5 months during that time that thing was there that I was feeling exactly that. I couldn't walk. I felt like I would not just amnesia, but anesthesia overload, antiseptic, whatever, you know, when they put you out kind of thing. Nobody would believe me, and I couldn't prove it. Yeah. But when I see a wall disappear and a teardrop-shaped vehicle leaving with something in it, then I'm like going, okay, there was at least a partial answer to all this aggravation I was going through.
Teardrop shape. Silver?
Yeah, it wasn't a gray kind of color. Not really silver bright. It was pretty more of a dull negative, not a bright positive.
Okay.
Kind of okay, kind of not. I'm over this shit, man. I mean, excuse me. I've had situations in the white light that have helped keep the parasites out, but the only thing is that they still find you. And it's all good. Today's a great day. It's a beautiful day. Life is good. Life is really good.
Well, it's they don't like us being happy.
I know, it's real. I've had many attacks from being happy. It's so funny. Yeah. Even from humans, it's so disgusting.
So it's good to be happy, and you do what you can to make yourself happy, don't you?
Oh, heck yeah, brother.
You know what I'm saying? You get my drift.
Yeah. Well, I've had blessed angels around me, too, and I'm going to tell you something, JP. Revolution Radio has really helped me finally step out of where I was in a place where I didn't think it was worth it because I was always set aside, set back, and ignored. Well, I can't be set back and ignored any longer, can I? Mm. Seriously, I never asked for a radio show.
Uh-huh. So there's Guy, and he's saying, this guy thinks the sun is cold. Yeah. That is hydrogen plasma, yeah.
Well, so many things that create a spark for fire have to start off cold. Look at gasoline. Other things like alcohol and that, they're all cold.
Mm.
And until you set that energy into motion for some kind of either kabam or whatever, right? Or
you know, wax doesn't burn.
I can probably see that.
All right. Because wax is a solid form, even oil doesn't burn. You have to turn it to a gas first, don't you? And you can only, so you need a wick to make oil burn.
Oh, because it separates it enough to make it a gas?
It makes it vaporize, there's enough surface.
Well, that's interesting, that's way cool.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Oh, that's neat. Oh. So that's why a sterno still needs to have a wick.
Yeah. So there's an ancient esoteric phrase, which, you know, if you look at the alchemy of what that is must needs be a wick to demonstrate the flame.
Aww.
I love that. Don't you? Do you get that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, very filtery. But I'm not going to call myself gastrous, though, okay?
And we'll have no gastric sounds either. Oh, I'm gonna live on air. I'm gonna do my borax. There we go. Oh, lovely. Oh, by the way,
yes,
I heard Karen say the word nung on live on air.
We did. We brought it up.
Brilliant.
I totally agree with the whole conscious sense of it.
Yeah.
Totally. If you would have really heard the whole thing, but yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
It's vital that we learn to listen to our truest selves and not these resources that want to take from us to... I'm not saying I don't get my cravings, but I don't do it all the time because I know who's in control of me.
Yeah, I'll tell you what,
I make some delicious stuff.
Great. Great, and me too. You know, I've been making paleo... I mean, basically, it's what they call the paleo diet, you know, these days. And it's a diet that just doesn't have yeast in it. And it's not hard. But it's hard if you're addicted to the yeast. And that's what most people are addicted to. Yeast-based things. Beer. People. Bread. People. Cakes. People. You know, it's just wheat, sugar, and yeast. You know, the three in combination is the thing that, I mean, I have to say, I was addicted. And I loved them. And I defended them. And I thought that they were sacrosanct.
Mm-hmm.
I must have my sugar. My sugar. I'm going to have my sugar. I've got to have my sugar every day. You know, I've got to have...
That's right. It's just coffee or tea with cream and sugar.
Yeah. Do you know, I only have sugar in coffee, but I have 20 coffees a day. You know, people do this
as I'm taking a sip laughing. Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I've actually created to the point where I would do almost a 3-liter bottle of soda a day. This was way back when. And I am not one to gain weight whatsoever. And you would think that some of these conditions and ways of my eating habits could have attributed to that kind of thing, but it doesn't. Mm. I have a very fast metabolism, whatever. But I had to wean myself off of the fake milk and the artificial sugars because I thought my body needed better real-life food. That's the only thing. So now I'd use honey or I'd use molasses or maple syrup, something that's cleansing and wholesome. But not where it has to be because we're going to learn to acclimate because one day we might not have this stuff available at all. Then we're going to have a nervous breakdown over it.
Exactly.
You know, kind of wean yourself in bits and pieces. You know?
I thought about this a long time ago. I have apocalyptic thoughts. You know, I think a lot of us do. You know, it's like,
what do you
got
in Scorpio?
I've got Neptune in Scorpio. So my dream.
Oh, there you go. That makes sense.
My dreams are dark.
Wow.
All right. So anyway. So I always think, you know, what would it be like if I didn't have electricity? You know, how would I cope with it? So I've found a way, you know, I've got lots of batteries and I'm learning how to make charging and run things off batteries and then charge batteries off fires and sun and generators and, you know, I'm working my way into being able to cope with if I didn't have electricity. And I thought, well, what about if I didn't have sugar? Well, fortunately, I don't need to have that much sugar these days.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't have crates of Coca-Cola. I actually have one tub of white sugar, which hardly moves, hardly ever used. Nikki made some lemonade with 2 spoons of it the other day. You know, that's how fast it goes. Not very fast. And it's all due to this other white substance, borax, and it hasn't killed me. And I've slowly been reducing my weight layer by layer.
Nice. Then you got to do it in a healthy way.
Yeah,
that's
very
a good
slow.
Healthy way.
Very mm-hmm. slow. I am in no hurry to do anything, but my weight has been. And also, of course, you know, you take weight off. What is that weight? That weight is nung. And what does that nung do? It's memory foam. Yay! It's foamy, you know, and it's memory because it remembers all your traumas and all your, you know, crap. So as you diet, you detox, you get rid of the chemicals and the fears and all the things that you locked away those days, you're able to access memories as well, which are not necessarily particularly nice, which
yeah,
is why
exactly.
If you ever you know, if you want to have a happy relationship, don't date anybody who diets. Don't
well, just
ever
the
date
word any- itself is disgusting. Yeah.
Don't
okay.
ever date anybody who has a thing about their weight, you know, because they will, number one, they'll continually imperil your food. They'll say, oh, that's bad for you. Oh, that's unhealthy.
Excuse me,
can you stop unblessing my food? I've just blessed this food. Can you stop unblessing it? You know, you've just cursed my food by saying, that will kill you. Yes, of course it'll kill me, but it'll make me live a happier life before. So, yeah.
Might be stuck, and JP, I don't even have the little box on my computer saying I'm on this call. This is how freaky this day has gone with Skype.
Oh yeah,
oh, even yeah. though I'm here, but yeah. Skype's not responding, and it's like, oh, I'm not even sure. I can't even mute.
You're speaking
that happened
from
through
a,
the whole show.
You're speaking from a tiny 3/4-inch square aperture in my screen here. But,
okay, as long as you know I'm okay and I'm there, it's all.
I can hear you, and so can everybody else. It's true. So,
woohoo.
Meanwhile. So where were we? Oh yeah. So, so there are people who don't believe me about the sun because, you know.
Hey, just look at Dolly's art. You can believe almost anything. Okay.
Sun is a religion. science is a religion. So I ain't gonna argue it. It's a religion. However, the scientific method is the truth. I'll see you after the break with more controversial stuff. Not hot. How about this, Mona? That the Earth is a sphere, right? That is expanding.
I don't doubt that in the least. Did I just get the call dropped?
No, we're still.
Oh, okay.
No, it's just a pause while I kind of stretch my back. Actually, the Earth is an expanding sphere, and that it's really easy to prove. And you just have to, you see, we've been told a lot of things, you know. We were told, you know, Islamics with box cutters made planes fly into buildings that fell down.
And disintegrate in Pennsylvania. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We were told that, but it's obvious to somebody looking, you know, somebody using their eyes, that was a demolition, you know. Anybody who's seen a demolition will recognize that that's exactly what a demolition is. Because I saw that and I thought, that's a demolition. How audacious of them. Must be an insurance job. Anyway. So.
Money's like the nung.
Yeah. It's the nung is everywhere. Let me tell you. Anyway, so perhaps the Earth is expanding because it's of its own large version of the nung. However. However, the Earth expands at these things that they call the rifts, because that's where the liquid stuff is bubbling up and then cooling as it hits the water. And that's why you find interesting new species there and stuff. Anyway, so the planet is very gradually expanding. And it probably expands in kind of bursts sometimes. Sometimes due to rupturing, due to planetary passage or something.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
You know, things could be happening that way. You know, people evolve due to their relationships, don't they?
Expanding universe. What a concept.
Yeah, so expanding Earth, expanding Sun. You know, the Sun is an expanding plasma ball. It's not a bomb. It's not a bomb. And
even called fusion, right?
Plasma. What is plasma? Nobody knows. We don't really know what plasma is, but it seems to be.
I think it's a reaction to a lot of other elemental occurrences.
It's conscious living energy.
Well, that'd be interesting. Like the living Earth.
Yeah, everything's alive. Plasma's like, probably on a macro scale, you could say that, you know, what would you classify a planet as? You know, is a planet like the bone at the end of your tail, or the bone at the end of your fingertip or something? And the sun is like the hand, and then the arm or the body is like the sun. You know, there's a hierarchy of beingness.
And, yeah, I always thought the planet just was one big blue marble, and, you know, there was other colored marbles out there that were all playing in the same universe kind of thing.
Mm.
Rather interesting, because I love the cosmos, and if the pictures are real, man, we really are living in a living existence, or a live existence.
Yeah, and everything, including what people think are dead elements, have life and consciousness. You know?
Or at least equivalent to being a part of something else to make something more alive in consciousness.
Yeah. Anybody who's ever tried to operate a cigarette lighter will know this. You know, you have to have a right Zen state of mind to make them work, don't you? They don't always work.
Depends on if I've run out of gas or not and how many bowls I lit, because you hold it longer for a bowl than you do a cigarette.
That's right, and so they get hotter and they burn out quicker.
Right.
That's the way of life, isn't it? Is that how it is, Batmona? That you burn hotter and you burned out quicker?
No, I'm always in a constant state of motion, even if I'm sitting still. And I don't sit still much, so interesting, because I don't leave a wake of ugly. It's a wake of smooth, so it's... Can we live in oxymorons like that, or the skullduggeries, the opposites of the dualities in the same set? Never mind.
So, sorry, I just drifted away to the chat room here, because zap. I see that.
Mm-hmm.
Plasma is a form of matter in which many of the electrons wander around freely. That's right. And there are plasma links between the sun and the earth, and between the sun and the center of the galaxy and the earth. You know, there's plasma that links everything to everything. So is plasma like a neuron?
But it would
system?
Come in different forms, though, JP. I'm sitting on the beach before I left Florida.
I come in different forms.
Ooh, baby. And so the elements were, there was this big old storm coming in off the beach, but it didn't look like a normal storm. And I'm sitting there, and not even an arm's reach up came this plasma lightning, very horizontal, and very just like, oh my gosh, what am I going to do here? And of course, other people didn't see this, because not everything is always visual, you know.
Not everybody looks up either, Mona.
I know, isn't that something?
Everybody's looking down into that little black mirror.
But I just wonder sometimes if it's a scalar part of a thing that's causing the plasma, or harp, or something else, or was it just supposed to show up so I could see it? And it looked just like a hand. It was amazing.
It was the hand of God.
Oh, it comes in many forms. not a he, but yeah.
Yeah, he, she, they. The cosmic mother father. You know, it's getting more and more looking like God's actually a serpent, or some sort of liquid living serpent type thing. Never would take a human form, you know. But anyway,
I don't know. If we're supposedly here in the form of it, it would have to be some form of it. some resemblance. Come on, we don't look like monkeys.
We're just assuming that. We're just assuming that.
Yeah, yeah. My whole life is assumption, right?
Yeah, and I want to stand up for those who are racist positive. I'm racist positive. I'm none of your special people. I'm a normal person because I'm racist positive. I'm not an Anunnakim. Nobody ever says, oh, but what about the racist positive people, the rest of the people, and, you know, everybody else? Well, there you go.
I think if you bleed red, you're equal with everybody else that bleeds red.
You know what I'm saying?
What else can I say?
I think this whole, you know, racist negative thing is a whole psychological operation to separate people from other people.
I don't
people
doubt it.
We should be in unity.
Mm-hmm.
Suddenly saying, oh, what's your blood type?
Uh-oh.
Oh. What's yours? Oh, AB negative.
No clue.
Then if you... no, you wouldn't. Tony Hancock.
Was he a comedian?
Yeah, he was a British comedian in the 1960s. And he did a very famous sketch called The Blood Donor. Meanwhile, the comedy of it was that he's a whiny bitch, right? So he goes to the thing. Oh, I'm going to be a good man. I'm going to give blood, and he's all of, so full of himself about how he's giving blood and how much he's much of a hero, and so he gives his blood. He goes to the blood test, and you know they say, oh, you've got AB negative, this is quite rare, and he's really full of it now. Yeah, I got AB negative, it's a very rare blood group. So he gives his blood and he's like, all really proud of himself, and he goes home and he's like opening a package, you know, with his scissors, and he cuts himself and he's fainting. He has to go to the hospital and he has to have a blood transfusion, and the only bottle of blood that they had was his own blood, so he gets his own blood back. So that's
cute.
The story of the blood donor. It's spoilers.
I thought O was pretty not regular. I remember my husband had one. They always came to him for blood.
Oh yeah, the universal donor, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So there's this thing about now who was it? Somebody had a guest on the other day, and they were talking about food for the blood type. I can't remember.
Oh, I heard that. Wasn't that Tracy?
Yes, that's right. And the guy was saying, you know, all this stuff that I like, I shouldn't be eating. Ah, again, you know, I'm doing my best, you know, trying the whole paleo thing, but no, I'm still eating peanut butter, but, bit by bit, you know. I started off a couple of years ago, I was a, you know, Coke and bagels kind of guy.
Right.
I'm a lot better now. I'm rice cakes and...
Sure.
Rice cakes and coconut oil now. Yeah, yeah. That's nearly an armful. That's right.
I just think as long as it's live, and every so often if you fall back, it's okay. But just to know that it's going to be your attitude of power over your num-nums that are going to really make it matter.
Mm-hmm. So that's part of the conversation that I've had this year is the, you know, learning to talk to the parasites that live in my body. And perhaps this may be a way of looking at what people call illegal aliens, is that it's just like yeast.
Well, that they come in with a big grandiose adventures and taking things from the host. Yeah, that seems like it.
So, you know, the idea that one may have also invited this, that we invite this thing, and that we feed it because we think we're feeding ourselves. Again, always, you know, you have to apply the macro to the micro because it's all a fractal. We're in a fractal omniverse, and it's really some sort of dream where we're figuring things out.
also make happy cells and don't feed the nom-nom.
Nung.
I still say nom.
Well, because num-nums actually sound like poos.
Of what?
You know, like, I've heard babies say, I've just done a num-num.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
But so nung, okay. Yeah. Nung.
You know, there's that piglet that pronounces it perfectly. But, you know, the word is the most basic sound for word. You know, for food. You know, if you think about, you know, that babies have like five words. Have you seen this thing? It was on Oprah several years ago, and you can Google it. You know, five words that babies all say. And, you know, basically they mean, you know, I'm hungry. You know, I've just crapped my pants. You know, I'm thirsty. You know, various basic expressions that they all say.
Mm-hmm.
And they probably form the basis for some kind of language, you know, some kind of language that you use. So, for instance, that nung becomes nourishment.
Oh,
nourish me. Nah. Nah. Where did that come from? Somebody needs to know.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well, it makes sense, but I never really paid a whole lot of attention to child speak. I guess I should have.
Well, you know, it's all a fractal, and it's all connected, and one develops out of the other. You know, things don't just appear in isolation.
Well, then you have to learn to discern which is need and which is choice.
Yeah, and what starts and what is the continuation of what has started. You know, and that's what a prophet does, because a prophet can see that, you know, if you do this today, you know, 2 years later, this is going to happen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're not seeing the consequences as I can see them, because it's easier for me. Or, I've been there, and I've been twice as stupid as you.
But if you're not doing it on this dimensional realm, like it was in Fringe on another one, then, you know, you might still be doing it somewhere else without it being in this conscious realm.
Bless your heart, Guy. No, I didn't say that Oprah was a good source of info. There was a woman who was on Oprah who was a good source of info. And you can, it's on YouTube. You can check it out, and it totally checks out. You just have to... You see, people don't use their senses. They only understand what they're told and what they read in books.
Right.
And that's the only time that reality is allowed to be... And it's because of their belief in authority. You're a fan of Mark Pazio's, aren't you?
Who?
Mark Pazio.
Okay.
Mark
is
Pazio.
Is he a host here?
No, he's been guests. He is very passionate.
Right.
He says, "Oh, you don't." Okay. Well, anyway, he says humanity are addicted to two things.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of money. And the belief in authority, which one follows from the other.
They're both robbing you of the truth.
Yeah. They're both giving your power away.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense to me.
Exactly.
No. No thanks, man. No more power giving. I can share it, but it ain't going to be stepping on other people's heads about it. And that's just what we have to also recognize, too. If you don't have enough of something and somebody doesn't offer you what you think that they should, then are you going to go and attack for that, or are you going to just try to find another resource?
There's a very interesting thing. The idea that resources are limited. That's another meme, you know.
I don't think they are. I think they've gotten kind of screwed over and, you know, raped. But
I think they appear to be.
Right. Well, I don't see too many people cleaning up their messes. They just keep going on straight through without caring about the consequences. I care about the consequences.
Mm-hmm. You can only change yourself.
I can only change the way I see them in my perspective, so I don't take it personally, because I ain't wasting my time and effort on shit that's not in my control. Anyway.
Anyway, see, the thing is, people say, you can't convince the skeptics, or you must convince the skeptics. How can you convince somebody who with their religion, believes that they cannot be convinced of anything?
I'm giving up trying to keep to think it matters.
Is that
really? Exactly. Why would I, you know, it'd be like me trying to tell a children, you better do it this way or it's another way, and I know that each spirit of that child's going to do it their way, so why would I start a battle about that kind of condition? And it just, it's beyond me. I don't like battles. Or power plays. Or manipulation. You know. Get what you can.
Yeah, well, there's this other thing. Since we're talking about talking. I think Karen was talking to you a few weeks ago, and she mentioned something, and it went very quickly past, but it's something that was created by a man called Marshall Rosenberg. It sounds like a Jewish sheriff, doesn't it? But he came up with this idea of something called non-violent communication, which is the premise that everything that we say is in English is an accusatory language. It's built to accuse people. It's built to tell people what to do. That's the design of the language. It's very hard to communicate with empathy in English.
Oh, I can see that.
Do you understand? So, honing our language and actually becoming aware of what our language is doing when we're using it, as you know, a lot of people in the truth movement is a very good thing. You know, everybody's learning about spelling. You know, correct spelling is imperative.
Not in my world, but go ahead.
Well, you know, spelling, Mona, casting spells.
Yeah, but I just only cast love, so I don't need a spell for that because it's all organically natural.
You know, then that's a spell still. It's still a spell. You speak for a spell, don't you? You know. You have a spell.
I do know that words create essences of power that we must be more aware of, yes.
Yeah,
go ahead.
They create a framework upon which reality can then rest.
Right.
Nice, eh? Anyhow.
You put it, yeah. Well, I know that words create because I've had to redialogue my mindset that I wasn't harming myself through my verbiage.
Exactly. So... here comes nonviolent communication.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that phrasing something in a pejorative manner can actually affect the outcome of what, for instance, the answer to a question might be.
That makes sense.
You know, you can do it with tone, right enough, but often the words tie the person who is being questioned up into a place. You know, it's that old, when did you stop beating your wife? It's like if you say, I've never beaten my wife, then, you know, then you're lying. And if you say, well, you know, I don't beat her. You know, it's a straw man question.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's designed to distract. It's designed to put you in a place of defensiveness. You see? And a lot of our language... a lot of the way people speak to each other is to put people on the back, to put people on the defensive, to come in with all guns blazing.
Mm-hmm.
Get me? So nonviolent communication actually puts you on an equal footing with the person and doesn't turn one of you into a dominator and then the other have to be a victim.
Right.
Yeah, so it's to prevent the process of somebody becoming a victim and then going all... passive-aggressive on you. You see?
So it seems.
So, I'm trying, you know, I've never actually, like, gone on any serious courses of it. I've spoken to a few people who have been doing it. But, you know, I kind of get the idea, and this is what we're talking about, is the idea of that the language that we use
mm-hmm.
when, you know, often people use the word you instead of I. And it's very interesting if you just invite people to say, would you like to say the word, repeat that, saying I instead of you?
I guess it would mean whether the structure of the comment was meant for that kind of identification.
Yep.
What gets me is words that, well, be careful, and then I don't want to be full of cares. You know, what yep. the heck are you talking about? Or the sorry, where they don't realize that they're actually programming their body to become sorry. And then they
which
don't realize
sore.
Why they have the...
Which means oh. sore.
Isn't that something?
It means hurting.
Ah.
Sore. I am sore. That's what
now
sorry
I'm more
means.
Animate.
I'm hurting.
It.
I'm, yeah.
But I'm never sorry.
How are you mm-hmm. sore? Oh, I punished myself, haven't I?
Well, and there's no real need in my Native American ways that I was taught is that sometimes things are just always as they are, and why should you feel guilty for something that just is? Because we carry, just like you said, so much guilt, so much victimhood, or we have to attack others because we feel that's the only way to get anything. Well, it's not. You get more, I mean, I raised at least happy children because I didn't demand of them. I gave them choices. They got to make up their own minds of what the actions and reactions will be. Yeah, I just am not into power plays at all, especially with children.
So, where would you like to go?
Hey, ray me since I've been here this long.
I what?
Do the ray thing, man.
Do the ray thing.
Do the ray.
Have I never done your rays?
I think you might have, but I forgot because it was a long time ago.
Oh, you should pay.
And hey, I might have changed.
You might have changed. Okay, let's have a look. Because, you know, it does change when people step up. You know? So let me just center in here.
Yeah.
And center down to and Gaia. As I tune into my body, it was like, oh, what about some oxygen? Hey, okay. Yeah, I'll have some oxygen. Okay, sorry. The body elemental. Have I had any fish today? Oh, I'm going to have some fish. I know. Yeah, okay, sorry. I've started talking to my body elemental. That's the guy, yeah.
Oh, well, we have many different guides and things that actually assist us
but
that
sometimes,
we don't really recognize or know.
But it's you. It's like the things that you like for your comfort, the things that you like for your happiness. Mm-hmm. And so... I've taken to saying, you know, what do you want today, body elemental? What do you want today? And like the other day, it said fish. So I had some, I got some fish and chips, and it was very happy.
Mm.
I think he wanted some fish today as well. So it's like a good, maybe I need some of that good old protein. So anyhow, oops, oh dear. Drama with Nighthawk. And yes.
Yeah, red really is pronounced. And I can see that it's okay because everybody's just trying to help somebody else and some people just don't want it because they have other agendas.
Yeah. So, yes. I'm not entirely sure that, what's going on there. So, meanwhile. In another place, in Neptune, in Scorpio.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Almost conjunct my dragon node, my north node.
Your dragon node.
Right, north node. Uh-huh.
Yeah, what's that?
It's the moon phase of the reverse for the cycle of the moon. It's called the north node. And there's a south node, and it's like the spin of a dial. One's a positive, one's a negative, even though the polarity's really the same.
Tell us
it's all in the structure.
Tell me about your North Node.
It would probably be yours, too.
No, mine's in...
Libra.
No, my North Node is conjunct Pluto in Leo or Virgo, I think.
For the generational phase that it is? It could be. I'd have to know your birthday to look.
Well, yeah, but I mean, Pluto's really slow, so where is it in 1961?
It was Leo.
Leo. Okay, so it's conjunct Pluto and Leo.
Interesting.
That's my North Node. So whatever
what
that
a
means.
Showcase.
It means that I'm supposed to be a show-off.
Right, a showcase. I didn't say show-off.
A showcase. Yeah, okay, so a sad case of a show-off.
Well, no. That's only because you're in conjunct your solar house, because you're in the part of the dreaming of it and creating it, not always showing it off, even though you could do it. So maybe you just need to stand up to know that you can do it, and that's why you have this radio show and why you're Will Spirit Radio and that. So you really are putting yourself more out there than you might know, and that is your prime directive. Better Leo than Virgo, anyway.
Yeah, that's true. Bloody man. No.
But it's your form of direction. That's all the North Node is.
Mm. Yeah, so, you know, and, you know, basically, you know, if it's conjunct Pluto, I mean, it's got like a cleansing force. It's a kind of...
starting fires and always putting them out.
Yeah, it's like a hose pipe that you can water your garden, or you can knock a whole crowd over.
Whoa! You know,
it depends on the pressure.
Mm-hmm.
It's all about pressure or power, and the use of power, which is obviously, you know, this is Pluto's thing. So I have to be obviously very careful. And not to alienate everybody.
You're going to be careful now, huh? You're going to be full of cares. Yeah, go ahead. Be careful.
Well, you know, maybe, you know, we have to be awkward? No. Authentic. Isn't it funny? You start down one road and it just goes down the other side. Awkward and authentic. Sometimes I'm awkwardly authentic because, you know, I'll say something that is like...
I certainly hope so.
incredibly inappropriate. But, you know, actually, to me, it feels like, what an inappropriate thing to say. But everybody's like...
The facts are the facts, JP. Yeah. Just because your oversoul sends out other information that you're not aware of doesn't mean it ain't supposed to be there.
Well, I mean, what I'm saying is, you know, I'll think that I've made some total social gaffe and nobody would have noticed because it was just like normal behavior. It's just not normal behavior.
They're over their head and they just couldn't catch
it. You know, I'm just like over English and incredibly polite and, you know, sorry. I'm sorry. Did I upset you last week? I'm really terribly sorry. I hurt so much. I punished myself personally.
Marissa on you. You want a diamond bit or a handsaw?
Anyway, so there you go. So Mona, where are you? My monad, Rona's monad, Ray 1, Ray 2.
Monad.
Don't worry about the yawn. Yawn is good. Yawn means I'm relaxing my body. And so Ray, Soul Rays, Ray 1, Ray 6, Ray 7. Personality Ray 1, Ray 2, Ray 3. Oh, very good. 273, is that what you got last time?
I didn't write it down, so I can't tell.
Well, write it down today.
I got it today, 273. Okay.
Burn it onto a piece of wood, pyrographically. Yeah, right. Distress an entire piece of land with those numbers. Anyway.
Well, it's a 12, and I've had many things happen for me on the 12th, so...
So...
I shouldn't have taken it there, right?
Well, what you're looking at is the 3, that's personality ray, okay? And the 3 is all about money, it's all about logistics, it's all about things... It's all about stuff, about communications, computers, words, books, library, book publishing, digital communication, all that sort of stuff. So, like, internet radio is quite a third-rate thing. Your soul ray is ray 7, which is the Aquarian age ray. About 6 billion other people. That's why people feel at one. A lot of people are feeling kind of really. It's like when they grew up in the 90s and the 60s and 70s, all that stuff. The ray predominantly was sixth ray, and now it's predominantly becoming seventh ray. And so the whole atmosphere is changing.
Nice.
And so the people who are in charge are changing from sixth ray to seventh ray. Still powers that be, but a different flavor. Same. Was it?
Same. I think it'd be like a wider consciousness that others are actually in the same boat as us than when we weren't thinking that everybody might have been the.
Yeah, there's a sense of everybody. Mm-hmm. Seventh ray is a very definite sense of everybody, whereas. Sixth ray is very much a sense of us and them, if you want to look at it like that. Seventh ray is about understanding the interconnectedness of nature and the interconnectedness of crystalline structures and how everything links together and how everything manifests and the end result of manifestation and rhythm and regularity and time itself. The understanding of time and the use of time, the alchemical use of time, magic, ritual, ceremony, order, tidiness. All those are seventh ray characteristics. If you want to live up to your soul, those are the things that you aim for. And the third ray personality goes in service of that. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Been making notes?
To the best of my ability, I have archives.
Good.
But it is a good conversation. So what's the two for then?
Okay, so the two is the monad, which is the three-in-one, one-in-three trinity, God consciousness spark of plasma that is within the inside of your heart.
Mm-hmm.
That connects very with different. The chakra, the higher chakras, the these new chakras, these ones that are like floating up above your head.
Mm-hmm.
They're essentially your spirit. The monad is the great spirit that is manifesting through your soul as into your personal avatar. Yeah, 33 ascended master energy, starlight, indeed. That's right. It says here. So. All right.
There's only
three monads, one, two, and three.
Uh-huh.
Essentially, the ray two, that's the humans. So, the ray three, essentially, are the lizards. And the ray ones are essentially the kind of... the next step.
Oh, so it progresses down.
Well, it goes towards the more unified, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So you see that 3 is more unified than 7, which is more unified than 12, that is more unified than 23. So people are always going on about, oh, I'm on the 99th dimension, all this BS. as far as I'm concerned, you're just lost in the myriad of things. Come back to the center, come back to the soul. The soul is one. There is only one. There is the one, the all that is, the isness, the beingness of the universe. There is only one. There's not mine and yours. There is the same.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's where it all broke up, is when they separated it. And that we were taught that we weren't allowed to even know about the separation.
Well,
being reflection.
Being taut. What's taut? What do you do? What's taut? When you stretch something really thin. When you apply so much stress to it
right.
that it vibrates. That's what taut means.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
a good drum
we head. we have been stressed greatly until we vibrate. That what? Sorry?
A good drum head.
A good drum head.
Yeah, you know a drum.
I know.
The skin is taut.
The skin is taut, that's
right. Because it makes a great vibration of the heartbeat of mother.
Highly stressed.
Mm-hmm.
Highly
gently.
Stressed.
Yes. Talk gently.
Uh-huh.
Now, unless you're metal... even metal tinkering, it's all attitude. So I see it as gingerly stretched, and you see it as tongue. Stress. I think that's a man thing.
What's that?
Gotta do it rough.
Stretch. Well, you know.
Honey, I've been stretched. Tell you what, I've birthed three babies.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's just back away slowly from Mona's. We're talking about spirit here. Okay. So meanwhile,
stretched,
going back.
Yes.
So the second ray. You know, the second ray. Yes, it does. It's an expansion. Second ray is all about a gentle expansion. Gentle expansion, like the planet gently expands.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking. It's rather interesting. How has your weather in that been? Are you seeing kind of earthly changes in your area that's making you think more that the Earth is expanding?
I found out about the expanding Earth several years ago, before I was looking for it.
Mm-hmm.
It appeared as an anomaly in the GPS.
Hmm.
I discovered that they, after 20 years of having GPS satellites, they had to reposition them slightly, or they had to make up for an anomaly that the planet had apparently grown a couple of inches.
Yeah, so, that could set a lot off, actually.
1 inch every 10 years. Mm-hmm. You multiply that by a million.
Mm-hmm.
That's significant. And then a million inches is quite a distance.
Yeah.
If someone can figure that out.
A heck of a curve, too.
Yeah. So what that means is that the curve of the Earth flattens out, doesn't it? Right? Imagine the original surface of the Earth is like a thin eggshell.
Mm-hmm.
And as it cracks, it still remains curved. Yeah? As the planet expands and the radius gets wider and wider and wider, you see? That underneath these little pieces of cracked shell are enormous caverns.
Hmm, because it makes you wonder about the sinkholes.
It does, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Because they're literally perfectly, usually in a round shape. And then they're like the hourglass shape, possibly, too. I'm not really certain. I haven't gone in one to find out. But, because I've seen the big rips. There's some big ones out in the west where it's not just like soil drying and the earth cracking. It's literally coming apart.
Yeah, well, if you look at Google Earth, you know, step away from it, look away, close your eyes, rest your eyes for a minute, and then look back at it, and look at it. Look mm-hmm. at the planet. Don't look at, oh, there's America and there's... Look at the planet. Look at the thing. And see that the continents are sitting on top of another stuff
mm-hmm.
that is lower down. That makes it... That is... Now, what we discover... And you can, if you type in the words expanding Earth, Neil Adams, into, so expanding Earth Adams, will go to YouTube and you will see a 10-minute video that will change your world, change your worldview. And once you see it, it's like I'm saying, and you look at the building 9/11, that's a demolition. No other explanation. It's a demolition. Didn't happen by chance or accident. It was purposely done, made with radio controlled charges. probably Wi-Fi controlled. You look at it, it's so obvious. So you look at the planet, and it then becomes obvious that it used to be a much smaller planet, and that something cracked it open, and it's been expanding ever since. Maybe it's got an inflammation. You know, when you smack something, it swells up, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, I pinched my finger. It's a blood blister now. It swelled up.
Thank you.
Just under some kind of simple pressure. Off guard. Mm-hmm. All right.
Starlight thinks it's making his or her head expand and crack more.
Thoughts will do that.
But yeah, everything expands. Everything expands, you know.
I'm amazed at what it does. Because even our breath, it's expansion and then decrease and then expansion.
Oh, here's the thing. The thymus note. Here's something I discovered a couple of weeks ago. I'm just kind of coming up with stuff that I've been like mulling over and discovering and, you know, just sharing what I've discovered. There is a difference in your heart pulse rate when you breathe in and when you breathe out.
Huh.
And
not so many per heart rate, though, huh?
Your heart rate changes when you're breathing in and to when you're breathing out. Mm-hmm. And the difference between those is known as the thymus note.
Hmm.
And it's a benchmark of your ability to move from one situation to another without shock.
That's rather interesting.
Isn't it?
Yeah. I haven't thought of that before.
Adams. Not atoms.
Huh?
Neil Adams.
Neil Adams?
Yeah. I'll post it.
It might help if I'm getting it wrong.
Yeah. Okay.
They look good. It's that strange language of yours.
Well, English.
Not the English. No, I'm kidding. Okay, so did you get it?
Yeah, here we are.
Okay. Yeah, because I love all this stuff. Omni was my favorite magazine in high school.
Loved Omni. You know, I woke up one day in a hospital recovery, you know.
Oh my.
And I'd been in a coma for 3 weeks.
Ah.
And they said, hello, as they do. They said, what do you do? And I said, I'm a computer programmer and I'm a journalist. I'm here to study convalescent homes in England. And I'm writing articles for Omni magazine. Which was a complete fabrication. I had nothing. I never did. It just made it up. I thought I was a journalist for Omni magazine. And now it's too late to ever be a journalist for Omni magazine unless I make my own Omni magazine. Maybe I should make Omniverse Today magazine. You remember?
Uh-huh.
Like, just go one meta from everybody. Omniverse Today, like a newspaper. Yeah, and today in Parallel Dimension 37, subsection 3, Parallel Dimension 27.
Girdle Spring.
Mona and JP had a discussion about Girdle Spring frontulation.
Yeah, right. Oh, that is fine.
So there you go.
So it is kind of interesting because they want to do like the hydrogen cars and things like that because the fuels can be so different and still not be wasting any energy. So it is amazing how if we could really get our heads out of what we've been taught and know how to work it, like how we feel, like the Wright brothers did and Ford Motors. He was using hemp for everything. I mean, there's just so much that if we put it in better use, but it all gets turned to war crap. That just doesn't make sense to me.
Well, soon it should be turned back from war into stuff
healing.
Making organic farming and stuff like that. Yeah. That we can, you know, we can just turn things down a little bit. You know, you can turn a weapon back into a tool by just kind of turning it down a bit, backing off the pressure, turning down the intensity. And this is, I think, if we can learn how to do this, then we're going to succeed as a human race. And if we don't, we're going to destroy ourselves again.
Well, I see that with all the men and their toys, like their weeders and their lawnmowers. They can be tuned to a softer, kinder way, but no, they need to have that harsh jolting, and they think they're working hard because of it, and it's just, no, they're barely but attacking themselves. And that's why I don't use a sewing machine to sew, because I don't like the noise. And everything is stitched by hand. Did you see my ukulele case I made?
The ukulele case? No, I haven't
seen that. It was excellent. I'll have to get the video for you. It was excellent. Because we forget that we're allowed to just create. We don't have to have all these rules and everything. And we just have put so much on the wrong burner.
All right. I can see some people have been to my page today. Yeah, there we go. Let's see if I can find pictures of those light fittings that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw the one that had the complete wire. That's really neat. Mm. I never realized how cool these little LED lights were.
Yeah.
And that it's simple gauge, right? It's not like real huge electronic look that you got to worry about. It's simple.
You know, these things are idiot-proof. Idiot-proof.
Oh, cool.
Even I can fix these things up. Look, there's one. I mean, let's see if I can post this. And you can see what I'm making this out of. It's a... let's post that in the Rev chat. It's a stick of wood, and it's actually wood that is really, really scrap. It's used for separating planks of wood as they dry when they're being sold. You know, so you go to a hardware shop and you buy a plank of wood, and it comes from a big stack of wood planks that is separated from each other with these little sticks. So it's like really, really scrap wood. But they're quite, you know, useful little sticks. Anyhow, so I've got some of those. I sanded it down a bit, and then I applied two strips of copper tape.
Hmm.
Instead of using wire to carry the current, I'm using copper tape.
Neat.
Because what's useful is that copper tape is very easy to solder onto. And you can see that the little electrode from the lamp... you just pull the legs apart a little bit, and then they'll solder directly into the little blobs of solder that you put onto the thing. And then I normally put a bit of a glue gun underneath the light itself, just to hold it in place.
And these things are pretty reasonable. You're not going to like spend a whole bunch of money to get this little bits and pieces.
The bulbs, the lamps themselves are $1 mm-hmm. each. $1 each.
And the plastic box can be basically anything, or do you have a certain box that you get?
What plastic box?
I'm looking at your photo album here.
All right. And the plastic, you know, plastic box, things in plastic boxes cost more because plastic boxes are expensive.
Mm-hmm.
When you're talking about, so what are you looking at?
That's neat.
Tell me what you're looking at.
It says it was built from a kit. It doesn't have a name.
Oh, the thing. Oh, right. Oh, yes.
You're right. The voltage that you dial up.
Oh, yeah. That's a very pretty thing. That's.
It really does look cool.
It's a power supply. And it gives me. For instance, if I have a particular LED or a laser. Head or something like that, that I can supply it with just exactly the right voltage for it without burning it out. Mm. So I can dial down to 3 volts and then I can light my LED, because if you give a LED more than 4 volts, it'll start frying. You see?
Gotcha, right.
So what this dial is able to give me just exactly the right voltage. And then once I know what exactly the right voltage is to get exactly the right sort of brightness and without it burning out, then I can take that and then calculate resistors. And, you know, there's there's an army of resistors. Where is it? I think, yeah. Just before the Dreambox one, there is the army of resistance.
That's is that what they were?
That's a resistor, and what you use a resistor to dial down the pressure to take the current, so you don't burn the LED out.
Mm-hmm.
So the colors stripes on them that tell you if you can read those things, and there are a couple of people in the chat room who probably can. They will tell you exactly what the value is, how much resistance they're offering, according to the color code.
But, because they're not all the same here.
They're not all the same.
So you strategically place certain ones next and behind others.
No, what that is that's how I bought them. When you buy them, they come in strips.
Okay.
If you look carefully down at the bottom of the picture, you'll see that there's a you can see a paper band.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And they're basically they're all taped one after the other, like a sort of ladder style. And then, so each row of them, you know, is one value. It's one pack, and they're all stuffed together, and you can see right through them. But it just, I just lined them all up, and I thought, oh, look, looks like an army of resistance there. So I took a photo.
Yeah, well, I get that, though. That's interesting. And I remember circuit boards being made when I was a child, wondering what the heck they were being made for. And now I guess it's kind of like up to where we are now.
Yeah.
With all this accessibility of taking our power back, that's really cool.
So, yeah. And then the next picture is a thing called the Dreambox,
mm-hmm.
which is a circuit that I've designed myself, which is it's the hub. Go to the next picture and you see a pair of sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
With a wire. That plugs into the box, and what the box does is create a specific frequency pulse that pulses a light that it is glued into the corner of the sunglasses, and they pulse into your eyes. So you close your eyes, and it pulses onto your eyelids.
I love it.
It's time to go. Thank you very much for coming with me on this.